Welcome to the Lance Wallnau Show. This is the show that is always trying to find out some aspect of something that people aren't talking about that you need to hear about. Of course, current events are flying around. And then every now and then the Lord takes me up into a higher atmosphere, higher altitude, and says, preach the word. I thought, oh, because no matter what I'm doing, commentary on events down here on planet Earth, there's something which is even superordinate. It's more important than that. That's the word of God, because the word of God frames reality down here. So with that thought in mind, I have my son, Carl Alexander, well, now right here. Carl's with me. Now, Carl's worked with me on level 10 development products that we've done for personal development. But I thought it would be interesting to introduce you to the man that got me started on the journey of personal purpose and development, and that is our guest, Dr. Bill Greenman. Bill, welcome to the show today.
Pleasure to be here.
And I think it's unique in the sense that when I say that I got started off on my purpose with you, it was a book that you had, which was How to Find Your Purpose. And at that point, I was intrigued in its early first edition. Was that Whitaker House?
It was
Whitaker House.
It was.
And I was probably Carl's age when I was reading it. And I remember he was a circus master. This is what got my attention, that he was an evangelist, actually, but he was doing his job in the marketplace. This is before the Seven Mountain message, you know, that I got that. And so I'm thinking, a guy who's an evangelist who figures out how to make a living, you talk about doing a unique job description, being a master, a circus. What do you call that? A circus what?
Well, we were acrobats, so we did trapeze and wire juggling and all that, yeah.
You were actually doing that stuff?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I pictured you facilitating. Oh, you were doing the performing?
Oh, yeah, 17 years, yeah.
Dang, bro. So anyway, his book. So I wanted to get him down here when I heard that he was available. I wanted you guys to meet him because he's got a new book, which is, I assume, going to be, because it's kind of hard to do cult classic. It reminds you know, yes. It's a cult classic is what you have. Yes. What did you add to this that makes the unique purpose a unique book?
Well, actually, I'll tell you what number one thing I added was your Seven Mountains message. Because I had this message that everyone has a purpose, and I was talking about marketplace then, because obviously that's where we were. We were in the marketplace, right, with the circus. But I didn't have the Seven Mountains. So when I think it was 2001, 2002.
Yeah, it was around 1999. I started putting it together, started blabbing it in 2000.
Yeah, and I heard that message, and I went, that's the piece I was missing. And so we added that and a few other things. You learn a little bit more after 10 years, 15 years after you wrote your first book.
Well, you know, now I got to find out all about it. So, Carl, this is all new for you, but you know, you were like 6 years old. I met Bill. I was so excited. I met you in Franklin, Tennessee, at Brian Smallwood's church.
Right.
And I had my kids traveling with me back then. And I introduced him as the guy that got me started discovering this whole theory on purpose, everything. And I was teaching all over the place because it was an initial download.
Teaching it better than I was.
You are a co-classic. Yeah. So that's why I want people to see the co-classic. So Carl, I'm going to start it off with you because there's so many directions we can go. We only have 24 minutes. What would you like to explore with Bill?
Oh, so many things. I'm curious about what it was like being in the circus and then getting out of the circus and how that shaped your trajectory and your purpose moving forward.
Yeah, I actually have a book that I've started. The outline is called Everything I Ever Needed to Know I Learned in the Circus.
Love it.
Because you really do.
That's a great title, by the way.
You really do. You learn everything about faith and trust and community and then just endurance and going for a goal, staying after your dreams, all of that. So the circus for me was a dream come true. I wanted to be a performer since I was a little kid. And I was trying all these different ways, ended up in the circus. Florida State University has a circus on campus, and that's where we learned it. And that's where I met my wife. She was already a beautiful trapeze artist in the circus when I walked in the tent the first time. And we went professional, but that was not what God wanted us to do. And so when he says, hey, start a circus that preaches the gospel, I'm like, well, that's a great idea. How do you do that? You know, didn't know. And so I had to go on that journey. Well, what happened was, as we would do these shows and people are getting saved and healed and there's amazing things going on, hundreds of people would come forward. I mean, over the 3 or 4 years of the beginning of it and say, how did you figure what you just said? How did you figure this out that you were supposed to be doing circus and evangelism? So I would tell the story again and again and again. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. You know, I'll make a tape. So I made a tape. I would hand the tapes out. Well, that got too cumbersome because I would have to carry so many and do that. So I went looking for a book. There were no books on purpose. It wasn't anything. So I was complaining to the Lord, actually. And I said, get one of your generals to write a book on purpose so I can just tell people to go buy it. And he goes, no, you write it. And I said, I don't know how to write a book. He said, well, learn. It's your job. So it took me about a year and a half to write that first book that you saw. And Whitaker picked it up right away. We got so many testimonies from around the world of people who got that book, and it changed their lives dramatically. I mean, some saved their lives. One woman from Africa, she was going to commit suicide. Somebody gave her the book the day before she had it planned, flipped her world. She realized, I'm just miserable because, you know, I'm doing the wrong thing. So you do that, you know, we started handing out the book. That was much easier because I was an evangelist. I just want to get people saved. I really wasn't a church guy. And so the book was great, but then the Lord said, hey, you know, after we got out of circus, now, you know, I have never missed the circus. You know, some people think, don't you miss that? Well, I missed the adrenaline rush because that was sure. 17 years of nonstop that. But the whole thing about the circus wasn't it. It was about getting people saved. It was about getting, you know, getting the gospel into them. So when I walked away from that and stepped into different aspects of ministry, whether it was pastoring or the prophetic or whatever it was, it really didn't matter. And it actually became the example, because I tell people all the time, look, your purpose never changes. You're going to be who you are no matter how you express it, right? And so I went from getting people saved as a circus code evangelist, and then in the pastoral work, and then into prophetic work. And then I jumped into the business realm, but doing the same thing, basically teaching, coaching. And that's who I am.
All right, so we're already like 10 minutes in yes. here. I want to get into the meat of this thing.
Certainly.
So you said something, which yeah. is really interesting. Mm-hmm. Purpose never changes.
Yes.
So that, you know, you're so close to the subject. I don't know if you realize how profound a statement that is. So a lot of people that are listening, what's my purpose? You think your purpose is a constantly moving target. Like right now, what's my purpose? Your purpose is really eternal.
It is.
It's woven into your DNA, your design. And then you would talk about your talents, your gifts, your skills that you add to it, your temperament.
Yes.
God gave you the package, and then he yeah. gave you a certain thing that drives you.
Yes.
And so your purpose won't change. It's just the way in which you do your purpose
yes,
is exactly. changing.
Yeah, the expression of it just changes.
Mm-hmm.
But your purpose never does. And that's what confuses a lot of people, because they think my job is my purpose.
Right.
Your job is a tool to do your purpose, right? And that's what people have to understand. Once you get that, it makes it much easier. Oh, if God says go over here, well, stop doing that, do this over here. But I thought this was my purpose. No, that is your expression. Go express it over here now. And that really helped a lot of people. It certainly helped me, because for
all right,
a little
so,
while.
So here's a quick question. So Carl, when we work on you're president of Purpose International. So clearly purpose is part of your purpose.
It is
helping
it.
People learn.
That's it.
I mean, it's great to have purpose as your driving mission
as your purpose
in your ministry.
And that's your ministry name. Yeah.
But so Carl, I want to just excavate the subject for a second. How do you find your purpose? Talk sure. to people about how do you find sure. your purpose. Then Carl, I want you to start exploring some questions about goal setting
sure.
based on that.
Sure. Well, purpose is inside you. You know, it's not out there in the ether somewhere. It's in you, right? Because I always ask the question, do you think your purpose is inside the kingdom? Well, of course it is. Where's the kingdom? It's in you. Then where should you look? You should look in here. So, but when I say look in here, what do I mean? I mean, ask the Holy Spirit, who is the kingdom within you, what does he say? What is he drawing you to? And you know what's interesting? Most people are actually always leaning toward what they're made for. They mm-hmm. just don't have the confidence to say, that's it.
Right.
And so as you look inward and you start asking the Holy Spirit, you know, what is it that you have for me to do? Who am I? What are the gifts and skills and the other aspects of my personality? How does all this fit together? And he begins to, because his job description is what? Jesus said he leads you, he guides you into all the truth, he shows you things to come, he will reveal the deepest things of God to you. Well, that has to include your purpose. And so as I read through the Bible, I see, and of course this is my lens, I see everything is to help you to be who you're supposed to be that person God created you to be. Everything in there. And we were talking, you know, equipping the saints. What's the equipping for? It's to do your purpose. You're the only person on the planet who can do it. You're it. So when you find that,
you gave us another clue there.
Mm-hmm.
And the clue was, you're always leaning towards your purpose. Mm-hmm. So not only does purpose never change, but everybody is giving away evidence
absolutely.
Of what it is that they're inclined to go after.
Very good.
And All right, so Carl, where do you want to go with this? And I'm kind of curious what your thoughts are.
Yeah, so a couple things. First is the idea of being the change that you wish to see in the world.
Yes.
So for you, you wanted to have a book on purpose, and then God told you outright, that's your job.
Yes.
You're the one who's supposed to do that. So for anyone at home who's considering, wanting to do something and not sure how to do it, that actually could be your call to adventure. That could be the thing that's beaconing you toward it, saying, yes, this is actually for you. This is your purpose. Mm-hmm. Another thing that you had said was basically you need to go inward in order to find what that really is. So the quote that comes to mind for me is, go within or you will go without. That's and if you don't actually excavate what's inside of you that needs to come to fruition, that needs to manifest, then you're not going to have it in your life. And that totally actually isn't going to be there for you. And before moving on into goal setting, I was wondering if you would share with the audience the vision that you had.
This is really what keeps me moving. Everybody's got a motivation. And back when the Lord said, I want you to start Purpose International and get this message out, all ages, all media, all continents. So great. So I started writing the book. Well, we were living in Dallas, actually, down in Hearst. And my son got into the drug world. He's 14. He got arrested multiple times. It was very, very dark for our family for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years. And during that time, I'm trying to rewrite my original book. I'm trying to, how do I put this together into a ministry form? And I just got so discouraged one day, I put my head down on my desk. I said, I'm not the guy right now. I can't do this. I was instantly out of my body. I'm standing in heaven, and like right where you are is Jesus sitting on the throne right about here in front of me is a man, about 30, and he's broken. He's weeping. He's so upset. And Jesus is asking him, why didn't you do what I made you for? And this man is like, I didn't know where to look. I didn't know how to find out. I had no idea. And then behind him, I saw thousands and thousands of people, and they were all ages, different nationalities, and they're all broken just like this man because they knew they had let the Lord down. They did not fulfill their destiny in him. And I'm standing there. I'm like, oh, my heart is breaking for these people. I'm thinking, this is so horrible. And then Jesus turns to me and he points his finger at me. He says, why didn't you teach them? And man, I'm back in my body. And I'm like, okay, I get it. He wasn't saying I'm responsible for them. I'm responsible for my purpose to give them the opportunity to find it. And so that's my everyday. I think of that all the time, and I think about all those people. And so I work very hard at seeing all those people jumping and shouting and exciting because Jesus is saying, well done, instead of why didn't. And so that's my motivation, and that's what keeps me moving forward. And shortly after that, my son got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and delivered from all the drugs. So,
well, that's quite hectic.
Yeah.
You know, I heard, Carl, I heard this thing interesting this week from a guy. I ran into this guy who said, hey, I just wrote 8 books this year. I go, what? He was a pretty interesting preacher too. And he says, yeah, my kids all got the same anointing. They're all writing books. I mean, we got like 30 books. Our whole family's writing books. I said, what? I pulled him aside. I said, give me some insight. I agonized, put out just 2 and you just did 8. I realized right away, I'm taking on too complex a subject matter. I mean, I'm doing, simplify it a little bit. And I thought, I'm taking on too big a subject. And then he said, the Lord told me something. He said to him, I'm giving books. Go catch this, people. I'm giving books for people to write, and they're not writing them. So I'm raising up someone else to write that book. I'm giving songs to people to produce, and they're not pursuing their musical gifting, and I'm giving them to someone else.
Absolutely.
In other words, if you don't steward, this is a biblical thing, right? If you don't steward what you got, Jesus gives it to somebody who's productive.
Absolutely.
Productive, by the way.
Absolutely.
You talk about a capitalist worldview. This guy did 10, this guy did 5. Give it to the guy with 10.
Exactly.
That's ultimate capitalism.
It is. Yeah, so and I totally agree.
How many books are you not writing?
I'm not, that's my point. Then to make it more convicting, I'm interviewing Rick Renner. You know, Rick Renner's like, in our world, Rick Renner's like the Atlas of Greek, Hebrew, Word of Faith.
Amazing.
And so he's interviewing me for a show recently. And I can't believe he's listening to me. I'm going, man, I pulled him aside afterward. I said, you've got this whole ministry in Moscow and you've got all this stuff you do, but you're putting out books all the time. He said, Lord told me that if I didn't start writing, I was on a trajectory to not being backslid, but about that bad.
Yeah.
He said, because I was traveling, living in hotels, living in airports, on the road for a decade. And the Lord said, if you don't start writing to keep yourself sharp, you will get dull.
Absolutely.
Well, that's two words right there. So, all right, goal setting.
Goal setting.
All right.
Yeah, you have to, you know, goal setting, I mean, it's all through the Bible. Plans are all through the Bible, which a lot of Christians don't think, well, I'll just fly by the seat of my pants, the Holy Spirit will lead me. Well, God's a pretty good planner, and he sets goals. I mean, the whole Bible is about his goals and his plans, right? And so you have to set a goal. The reason people get stuck is because they don't have the vision out here to know where the goals are in between. Mm-hmm. Once you have the vision out here, this is where I need to go, this is who I am, then you can pull back from there with the different goals. So like for us, when the Lord said, I want you to do this all ages, all media, all continents, I'm going, okay, let's start with all ages first. And so if I do all ages, it's these age groups, then I have to have materials that will apply to each one. So we're doing that. Right? So we've got them for adults, we've got them for Bible schools, we've got them for youth groups, and we just did wrote a children's series for illustrated books so that people can get started. But if I didn't have that all ages, all media, all continents thing out here, I wouldn't set those goals, right? And that's the problem, because people don't have that sense of destiny. They don't know what their purpose is, so they're not setting a goal. They're not seeing themselves out here. In fact, I'm staying with a friend right now here in Dallas, and his daughter is a runner, and she was kind of plateaued, and her legs were hurting. She's got a race tomorrow, and I said, you know what? I said, you're concentrating on your body instead of your goal. Mm. I said, tomorrow when you race, the only thing I want in your mind is 10 yards past the finish line. That's your goal, and you will do you'll pass your personal best. And, you know, I could tell that she was like, what is this? I said, you have to have a goal right now. You're thinking about this body isn't working like I want it to. Keep your mind on the goal. And if you have a goal, it's like, my goal is I'm not going to see those people standing before the Lord saying, I didn't know what to do. That's not going to be because I missed it. So that goal keeps me going with all the rest. That allows me to set the goals coming back to where I am.
Yeah. So one thing that you just said that reminds me of a quote is, what gets your attention gets you.
Yes.
So if you're focused on why you can't do it, you're going to show up and not be able to do it.
You'll never do it.
Exactly. But if you're focused on beyond the goal line, and that's where you're going to cross, then absolutely that will sustain you through that. If you could also mention to the audience, sometimes when we set our goals and we have our objectives, mm-hmm. the objectives include things that we don't want to do.
Of course.
So how do we sustain motivation during that grunt work period?
Yeah. Well, again, that comes back to, you have to have something big, something that's bigger than you. You know, if it's about you, you're missing the mark.
Yeah.
Right. It has to be, everybody has something in them that's kingdom based, that's bigger than themselves. You have to keep focused on that. If I focused on me, I wouldn't do anything what I'm doing. I'd be doing something else. But because my focus is on the kingdom and on an eternity, it is not here, but this gets me there, right? So my focus is bigger than me. And as long as I have that, I'm not gonna back up. I'm not gonna stop. I'm not gonna, even no matter what happens, you know, diligence is just, okay, I got detoured. I'm getting back to the path. If I know what that is, I can always get back to that path. My Holy Spirit GPS will bring me back. But I have to be committed to that as well. I can't just say, oh, well, it's up to him. No, it's up to both of us together.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things where people fall down too, is they think it's all on them or it's all on him, and it's not. This is partnership, man.
All right. So people are going to then want to know, after we talked all this time and teased it out there, they're seeing pictures of the book, Your Unique Purpose. But you also are doing 10 progressive steps of kingdom vision. Take a few minutes to tell us about what in the world is that?
Sure. Well, along the lines, you know, you asked me a few minutes ago, you know, what was in the new book that wasn't in the first book? And one of the things I noticed, because I went through it myself, was people were having trouble. They'd get to a point where everything looked like it stopped, right? So, and that's nothing but Bible. I mean, whether that's Abraham or Joseph or David, whoever, it looks like everything that God told me to do just stopped. What is that? Well, it's if you understand the 10 steps that get you to that, and it's not the last step, but that's the part where the seed has to die so it can grow and be multiplied. And whatever God gives you, you mentioned it earlier, the man who had five gets five more. The man who had 10 gets 10 more, right? God's always about increase. He's always about doing more than what you're expecting. So you have to keep your eyes on that. You have to make sure that you're constantly believing that you can do more, you can be more, you can have more, you can give more. And if you can do that and keep your eyes, like I said, keep your eyes on the prize, you know, you're not going to be stopped by anything. And you'll be that person who is constantly going, okay, I had 5, now I got 10. Okay, I had 10, now I got 20. What do I do now? Because their vision is not them, mm-hmm. right?
All right, help? So people are asking yep. right now. You can go to lancewallnow.com, W-A-L-L-N-A-U, for you that are listening on a podcast. lancewallnow.com/Bill. We're going to get connected with Dr. Bill Greenman, and you can get a hold of the book. You have a certain, you're going to autograph these?
Yes. Anybody who buys them, we're going to autograph them. Let me just tell you the story.
We ought to put a limit on that because
I can't.
We made bestsellers on this program.
I know. I understand that. I understand. At first, I said, okay, the first 200. Then the Lord said, why?
Ooh.
I went, well, I don't.
Sounded good.
It sounded good. And he said, no, all of them. I said, why? He said, because you don't understand partnership yet. And I said, this was just yesterday. I just changed the website yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah. And he said, you don't understand partnership. I said, what do you mean? He said, when you autograph these books, he said, I want you to keep this in your mind. You are saying, I believe in your vision, and you're handing this book for them to find it. You're coming to agreement with those people that they're going to be helped by the materials. I'm not promising everybody's going to find their purpose just because they read the book, but I'm coming into agreement, even though I may never see any of those people. He said, you have to be in agreement. They're already in agreement with you because they're buying it. They believe in you, mm-hmm. right? They believe in what you're saying. They believe in the kingdom this peace that I've given you. You have to believe in them and agree with them. And that's why you're going to sign them all. I'm like, okay.
Here we go. LanceWallnow.com/Bill. You're going to get the Your Unique Purpose autograph copy of the book, plus Bill's free ebook, 10 Progressive Steps of Kingdom Vision. You can download it immediately,
mm-hmm.
and then they're going to be able to find out more, because I think you've got some webinars
yes.
that break this down a little bit further
right.
in terms of specificity.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
just to interject to that point, would you mind sharing with our audience some of the specific tools that you're offering in these webinars?
Absolutely, yeah. So I think the number one tool for me is mentoring. It's probably the least used in Christendom. And it is the example throughout scripture, especially Jesus being the primary one.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a webinar that we're going to talk about, you know, the 5 specific steps that I've always used for anything I was ever going to do. I always go look for a mentor. Who's the person who's doing this? Who's the person that can pour into me? And then become a mentor yourself, of course. So mentoring is huge. And we have mastermind mentoring groups where we bring people together and they're actually mentoring each other. They're learning how to do it. And then, of course, there's personal coaching and all of that. But the main thing is we've got books, we've got workbooks, we have different courses, we've got video courses online. So there's multiple tools. And when they go to your site, that'll open up the door for them to a lot of those things.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So if you had to say to somebody, these are 3 things, a rough question you have to answer, but 3 things you need to do in order to start observing, for instance, people are already drawn to things anyway that
yes.
reveal their purpose.
Yes.
Well, let's just decode that for a second. Because a lot of people, they're drawn to the prophetic,
yeah.
or they're drawn to children,
mm-hmm.
or they're drawn to, and this happens in the natural. If
yes.
you don't really decode your destiny right, you become a social justice warrior.
Yeah.
I look at the whole army that I'm up against on the left, and I look at it with kind of different lens than most people. I don't see them as adversaries. I see them, I'm an evangelist.
Yeah.
I see them as all people that are wired to do something, mm-hmm. and the devil gave them a vision for their life
that's
that is
right.
not optimum.
That's right.
So I'm interested in trying to help people discern, what are you presently attracted to? So give me some examples mm-hmm. how people can discern purpose
sure.
out of what they're already doing.
Sure. I always ask people, what is it you love more than anything? When you if you got to sit down and just do what you love, what would that be? Some people have struggled with that, but everybody has something that I enjoy this more than anything. That's number one. Number two, if you get on the internet, if I said, hey, get on the internet right now, go anywhere you want, where do you always go? That's part of it. There's something in you that wants to go there. Some people are going to go to sports. Some will go to science. You know, somebody's going to go to video production. Whatever it is, that's going to draw you. And then ask other people.
Mm.
Ask other people who know you, people you trust, say, what do you see in me? What do you think I'm made for? What do you think
That's huge, huh, Carl?
Of course it is.
Absolutely.
And we don't do it. Why don't we do it? It's maybe a trust factor, but that I still do that. I don't do anything without going to my board and a few other people to say, what do you think about this? You know me, right? And we should do that with everything. Anything that has to do with your purpose,
you
should
have. I got to tell you, everybody needs to do this. Matter of fact, here's how you do it. Here's how you do it. You get a list of 10 people who you really respect, mm-hmm. who are achieving something that you consider to be admirable. And then you send them this email. You say, I'm engaged in a coaching course.
Yes.
And it's right now, it's with the three of us. This is your authorization. Yes. I'm engaged in a coaching course. And I was asked to pick a handful of people who I really respect to give me feedback on something very important. What would you say are the three things that you've observed about me or my life that reveals something I consistently do really well, even if I'm unconscious of what it is? What three things do I do that are probably the best that I do, yes. or something I do really well? And just give me like three couple of sentences to answer that question, because your input is going to be shaping the next chapter of my life. And that's how much I trust you.
That's excellent.
You send them that email. And then here's what I did. I did it as an experiment. Now here I'm doing curriculum, I'm doing On Purpose and Destiny. And so I sent it, and it was Dave Metcalf, one of my friends.
Yeah.
I said, just see how this letter works. He sent it back to me, and he gave me an answer that I myself didn't know. And the reason why this is so important is you think you know everything that you know about you, but other people know things about you that you don't know about you.
Blind spots.
Yeah, and so... yeah,
exactly.
And what is that? What is a blind spot?
A blind spot is an area of your life or your career where you're unaware of the thing. So you're an unconscious incompetent in that area. You don't know what you don't know.
That's right.
You're going to continue acting as if that thing isn't there when that actually might be a glaring issue for people who can see your blind spot.
Absolutely.
And on the whole, that could be 30% of your... Johari window, as we call it, is a blind spot.
Exactly.
So he wrote back and said, you have the ability to spontaneously synthesize information in a room and link it together in a way that becomes valuable for that event or that moment. And you can articulate it in real time in a way that other people don't do it.
Yeah, beautiful.
And I thought, what?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I hadn't known that. Because here's the other thing. What you're gifted in doing... you don't know is a gift
It's
so natural to you. You think anybody could do this.
That's right.
Anyone could. What's special about that? That's a key to a gift, isn't it?
It's exactly right. Yeah. And I always say that there's certain people who are called to deposit in others. You know, like you have this amazing ability to do so much media all at the same time. And exactly what your friend told. My thing is I can sit with anybody and in 5 minutes I've got there, I can tell you here's what your purpose is. Here's where you need to be headed. This is how this is going to work because we're gifted with an extra amount to deposit in others. And pretty much everybody has that to some extent in some area. But if you've never even thought that way, no one's ever, because it is a blind spot. You're not going to do it as much. But for me, it's hard to sit down with somebody I've never met and not go there. Because I'm trained myself now that, hey, that's a deposit I have to make. I can't, I'm doing them a disservice if I don't. So it's really important to understand what the extra is that you have to give to others.
I personally think that would be a great process video. If you're willing to do that with either my dad or me, kind of walk us through what those questions are that you're asking in order to unearth the purpose in others.
Sure. Love to.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
Be awesome.
Wow. I just got a real insight while you said that. The other thing is when you're hanging out with the right people, the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, quickens to you things that you don't get when you're with the wrong people. It's an incentive. God puts the body together. And so if you're with the people you should be with, then they're going to plus something.
Yeah.
And if you're with the wrong people, they're going to minus something.
Yeah, yeah. And they'll steal from you. I mean, you're going to waste time. You're going to waste effort. It may be detrimental to you. When you're around the positive people, and you said this a few minutes ago, when you want to know something, learn something, be someone, you find the people that are already doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That's who you hang around, and you ask them to give you information. Ask them to pour into you. I've never had anybody tell me no. I've done this many, many times when anything I want to learn. No one's ever said, no, I don't want to do that. They're like, yeah.
Yep, and especially if you're young. Mm-hmm. There's something about the sympathetic nature of older people. Mm-hmm. I remember one guy, I was watching the director's cut on The Godfather with, and I was trying to figure out, how did this guy get the, you know, Coppola, Francis Ford Coppola, to participate in the director's cut? And then I caught it. Every time he went to Coppola to talk about a scene, he said, and let that be a lesson to you, young people. And I realized this guy hooked him on the fact that he was doing it for his class at school. That's how he got access to Coppola. Let that be a lesson to you, young people. Don't let anyone tell you you can't do it. Yeah. Everything was a lesson to young people. I thought, how out of context. It's a, it's a director's cut of The Godfather. But once again, lancewalnut.com/Bill. You get Your Unique Purpose, his newly released with greater insight, Coke classic book that will help you fulfill your destiny, discover what your purpose is. And then 10 progressive steps of kingdom visions that you can download immediately after ordering. And then you'll be able to get a chance to take a look at Bill's mentoring program after that and see if it's something you want to connect with him on. Any final thoughts? I'll go around the table here. Carl, final thoughts, and then Bill?
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
You have such a unique story and a unique purpose in your own life to help other people find and cultivate their own purpose. Yeah. So it means a great deal that you're here. Thank you.
Yeah, for me, I would just say, you know, don't, no matter what your age, that you're not too young, you're not too old. It's just get with the Lord, get that relationship with the Holy Spirit so that you can begin to hear him. It's his job. It's what he wants to do. You just have to give yourself the opportunity to hear.
And if you're confused about what's going on in the world, don't start with figuring out what's going on in the world. Start figuring out what's going on in you.
Right.
Because once you're clear, everything comes together. I remember the illustration somebody gave me once. They wanted to keep their kid busy. And so the kid was like fidgety. So the dad took a page out of the newspaper, Wall Street Journal, and tore it up into all these pieces and then said, Irene, don't do anything, don't say anything until you put this puzzle together. And the daughter came back fast with the entire puzzle. Wow. And he was stupefied. He said, she's kind of a savant. How did you do that? She revealed on the other side was a graphic of the world.
Oh, yeah.
And so once she got a picture of what the world looked like, she was able to put together the other side with
brilliant.
The
friends.
If you get a picture of your purpose, you can flip it over and the world will make sense.
That's right. Absolutely right.
LanceWalnut.com/Bill. Get a hold of the book. Get a hold of this ebook. Get a hold of the mentoring opportunity. And we'll be back again with another spectacular and insightful show on how to live a level 10 life again on our next broadcast. Bye-bye.
Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world.